This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs again, chapter 22 this evening, chapter 22. You know, it's amazing how Solomon gives so much instruction to his son. And I think of how many times as parents, you know, when we become Christians, we learn from the life before we had in the world. And surely I really believe this, that when you get married and you're young and you have children, you make a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. And when you become a grandparent, you know, it's pretty amazing that God does that, that you're young, you make all these mistakes, and then when you get older, then you have wisdom and knowledge, and you say, well, I would have never done that or do that. But you know, God has a way of getting people's attention. And you think of how many parents really love their children, and then on the other side, think of how many parents abuse their children verbally, physically. And you think how those children are going to be growing up with a lot of hang-ups, a lot of hatefulness in their hearts. And at the same time, when you come to Jesus Christ, you know, if you've been doing that, now you become brand new in Christ Jesus, and God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge, because a lot of times people come to me and say, well, what about in the world? I did this, I did that. What about my children now? Well, they don't like me. Well, you know what you can do? You just get your life together with the Lord. You start doing what's right and fall in love with Jesus, and then God will take care of your children. God will make it better. And it's really important because there are so many parents that come to us for counseling that are having problems with their children in their teenage years through the high school years. And it's a time where kids become independent. They think they know more than their parents. We did that. I thought I knew more than my parents. I mean, who are they to tell me what to do? You know? But surely you learn fast as you get older that we were so naive and so stupid, you know, when we were young. But then at the same time, think of the patience that God has for each one of us individually. And here's Solomon giving amazing counsel to his children. And yet Solomon was one of the persons that blew it so bad. To have 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, he was so bad in that area, that he introduced to Israel, his wives, and his wives introduced idolatry to Israel. He set up all their gods in Jerusalem, and they were worshiping those gods when he was ordained by God to become the king of Israel. And God had given him peace throughout his whole life. And we need to learn from Solomon. We need to learn as he writes Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and he writes a Song of Solomon. But in Ecclesiastes is the book that he actually learns that life is really empty apart from God, and everything you do in this life is going to pass away, and the only thing that is going to last is what you do for Christ, period. That's it. Nothing else. So maybe we can learn through the scriptures to become better parents, better grandparents, better, you know, again, even when you're young, that God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to have to raise your children in the ways of the Lord. And I know that sometimes parents, when you have teenagers between the ages of 13 and 17, even up to 18, you know, we're going to start saying, well, I don't want to go to church anymore. Remember, as long as they're under your roof, they have to obey what you say. Don't let them get away by saying, I don't have to go to church anymore. Make sure they come. As long as they come here, they're going to get the training on the Lord. And at the same time, think about this. If they ever backslide when they're 18 years old and they're on their own, they're always going to fall back into what they were taught, the truth of God. But if you allow them to rule your life, and for them to make decisions for you, you're going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. That's one thing with our kids. We always had them in church, no matter if they didn't want to come in their teenage years. You know, that's the bottom line. They had to learn. And through that, I mean, Ryan, imagine that. Ryan, after 19 years, what happened? He heard the Holy Spirit speak to him. He had that song in his mind that he learned in Sunday school. And it played over and over in his mind after he had heard it, you know, way before when he was in grammar school. And the Lord brought him back. And that's what God will do with your children. Solomon will talk to us about this pretty soon. But notice how he starts this Proverbs chapter 22, which is incredible here. Because what he's going to do now, he's going to be talking. Notice, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. I mean, something that is really here for all of us is that it's better to have integrity. Integrity in your life. A good name. You know, a good reputation. Very important. Because once your reputation is ruined, or your name is ruined, think about what people will think about you. You know, in your own personal life. And I think it's kind of neat how Solomon comes to that place in the ministry of the Word of God, that he wants us to understand that a good name only comes through being a man or a woman of integrity, than being rich and having all this money and then have a bad name. It's better to have a good name because you're a person of integrity. I think of how many people that have money, they lie, they cheat, they're never satisfied, and they're stingy. I mean, not all people are like that. But I have met some millionaires, man, that I thought, wow, Lord, you've given them everything, and they have given nothing to you. Nothing to you. So it's really important that we understand that you might not be a millionaire, and you might not be rich, but you got your good name. That's what counts. That people respect you for who you are because you speak truth and you do what's right. You don't compromise your position in Jesus Christ. And you're going to teach your children. You're going to teach your neighbors, your friends, that you're not going to give in like the world does to lying and cheating and then have a bad name where nobody really respects you. So Solomon is giving good instruction here. Verse 1 again, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So notice what he's talking about here again. You know, it's better here to have that good name, but at the same time, he reminds us of our personal, you know, things that we have with God. And that God is behind us, and God not only keeps record, and God watches over us. So that thing is important for all of us. And then again, notice verse 2. The rich man and the poor have this in common. So here's what we have in common, rich and poor. The Lord is the maker of them all. We came from the same place. We were born from our parents, and God gave us the liberty through our freedoms, knowing this, that we need to make choices according to God. But if we don't, then we reap the consequences of our sin. Think about that. God didn't create you and I like robots on a string, or puppets on a string, or to be wound up like a robot. But God allowed us to come into this world and to have a free will, to make a choice, either to receive Him or to reject Him. And I think that a lot of times people have that kind of a problem. Well, you know, you talk to them and you say, well, you know, maybe God didn't choose me. Well, how do you know that? When God has given you a free will and the sovereignty of God and the grace of God and the mercies of God that are for us here. And God allows you to make that choice in receiving Him or actually loving Him or hating Him. But He's never, ever going to force Himself on any one of us. Not one of us. I think of your old life. I think of my old life. That even though I was brought up in a religion, Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, I never really had a personal relationship with God. Never. And I was an altar boy too, believe it or not. I can't believe it. But you know, when I look back at my life, I think when I was in that school in L.A., and it was Catholic, and the nuns were teaching us, that I don't even remember anything that they ever taught me. I don't remember anything. And yet I look back at my life when I was born and as a child and all the things that I went through, going to Vietnam, coming back from Vietnam, and how God had his hand upon me and how God had a plan for my life, as he has a plan for your life. And you can go back to your old life too and look back when you were born in your teenage years, high school years, college years, whatever it is, and look where you are today because of Jesus Christ. Think about it. It's all because God loves us and God cares about us. It's the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God in our lives. Because how many people, like the rich, make the decision, you know, that now that they have gold and silver, they don't really have to trust in God. And they have their trust in themselves and in the riches. But what about when God takes everything away from them and humbles them? And then some of them get bitter. And they get mad, but some of them start looking up and calling upon the name of the Lord. Because God has his ways of humbling us and bringing us to a place where we don't trust in mammon. We don't trust in money. We trust in the Lord. He is the one that provides for us. And then again, verse 3, a prudent man or a wise man, he says, foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So wisdom avoids trouble, and those who are shrewd avoid the dangers of life. Verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Isn't that cool? Notice, humility. He's talking about the importance of humility and having the fear of God in your life. Piety is rewarding. God rewards those people that really are reverent to God. They really, truly fear God. Notice what he says, riches, honor, and life. Riches by what? By having Jesus Christ in your life, we're super rich. And honor, and how about life? Eternal life that is given to you. When you came to him by faith, you receive his love and grace and mercy. We have eternal life. Nobody can take that away from us. It's forever. It takes us to heaven where other people are going to have eternal life, but they're going to be in the wrong place, in hell, and then in the lake of fire. So it's really important to understand who we are and the blessings and the richness that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because of him. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. So here he's speaking about staying away from evil people. You know, stay away from them. They'll get you in trouble. Make sure that you have discernment with people. Verse 6, this is for parents. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Notice what he's taking here about. I mean, here he's talking about children and parents. The parents have the responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go, he or she. How? By the word of God. By the word of God. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews would take their children, like for example, when a Hebrew wife would have a baby boy or a baby girl, you know what the first words were in their ears? Yahweh is God. That's the first words they would hear. Yahweh is God. And then as they were growing up, they would read to them the scriptures, the word of God. Because the word of God was the thing that would keep them and anoint them and use their lives. And so it's really important for you parents to make sure that, I know you're busy, you have a lot doing it, but make sure you have family time worshiping the Lord. So that when your kids grow up and they leave home, they'll do the same thing with their parents, with their children. That's really good to teach that way. If not, then they're not going to have the example and they're not going to follow up and teach their children. So here Solomon gives us good counsel to parents because, you know, training them is because training to do what? To love God and to walk in holiness before their lives. And then, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Notice, those that keep borrowing. And here he's talking about the oppressing of the poor. The rich are always oppressing the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. I mean, think of how many people today in their credit cards, they're actually slaves to who? To the one that gave you the money. You can't pay it. We've had so many people come in and say, man, my debt is so big, I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. Now, that's cool, but before God, if you abuse your credit cards, if you abuse your money, I mean, should people really trust you? I mean, what does God say? The Bible teaches us to pay our bills. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Our taxes are to be paid too. And yet, think of how many Christians cheat in their taxes. Cheat in their taxes to the government. When Jesus said you're to pay your taxes, give Caesar what's due to Caesar, and give God what belongs to God. And then when the IRS comes in, and they actually come into your life, and they call you, and they check your records, and then they fine you, and maybe even put you in jail. Think about how you sow and you reap. It's always good not to cheat, but to be upfront, especially in your business, to make sure you do that. And in your business, be you not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has light with darkness? If you go into business with an unbeliever and a Christian, usually there's major problems. Major problems. God wants you to be careful how you do business and how you treat the government and how you do things in the church here. So that's really amazing how he brings this up here. Poverty in effect here. Then he says in verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. Notice this. And the rod of his anger will fail. This is punishment coming. God will surely destroy the power of the wicked because of their wickedness. Verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. These are people that are helping people that don't have something. Helping somebody that is poor, can't have turkey, whatever. Man says you're a blessed person if you help somebody else. Generosity. And then verse 10. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Notice, we need to be careful of being critical of other people. That's really a problem with all of us. We can be critical. I mean, I do it too. We all do it. You know, we don't even know the person and we're already critical against that person. And God wants us to really love people and to pray for people so that we don't become judges. I mean, if you judge somebody else, like Jesus said, you know, when you're going to judge somebody else, first look at your eye. When you look at somebody else, you say, look at that person there. Well, he says, why don't you go ahead and take the 20 by 20 out of your eye before you take the 2 by 2 out of their eye. You know what I'm saying? Because we like to be critical. And think how parents are critical with their children because they're not going to be like you. To me, it's incredible how some fathers, you know, maybe they were not great baseball players, and so they get a hang up with their boys and they want them to be baseball players. When maybe he likes guitars. He wants to be a musician, but you're forcing him, you know, to actually live out your dream that you couldn't fulfill. That's not good. You should let your children be what God intended them to be. Not what you want to be. Or not what you want it to be. I think that's important. So many kids are destroyed by their parents when the parents don't allow God to work in the life of their children because the parents are holding them up. When you should be able to allow God to do whatever he wants with your kids. Everyone has a different personality, different gifts that God has blessed them with. It's so cool. When I look at my kids, I hear one kid that, you know, he has a business. The second one, he does movies and does music. And then Ryan, you know what he does? Now he does a whosoever's. But before in the world, he was working with bands and working for my son and doing all the tours for all the skateboarders all over the world. And every one of them, we always allowed them. We didn't force them to play. My son, Raul Jr., he was playing baseball for Bonita. He played Little League, and the scouts were looking at him. I mean, he's an amazing baseball player. And Shane was an amazing baseball player. But then he loved surfing more than baseball. He used to skip school after we go surfing. That's what he did. And you know what amazes me? That he got out of high school, he went to 2-year college, and that was it, and then he started his own business. And then God blessed him. See, you got to let your children be what God has called them to be. Not get in the way and allow God to do that. They can't be like you. They have to be what God created them to be. I think that's real important what the Bible teaches here. Because it's really hard for kids to try to please their parents when their parents are putting the pressure and they want them to be just like them. You want them to be different. You want them to be what God has called them to be, the anointing of God over their lives. That's the main thing that is so cool when God works in the life of people. Then again, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Think about how there's people that like to always make trouble. They make trouble. And he's talking here about these people that are constantly making, or their critical spirit. They're always criticizing and they're bringing problems into the home or maybe at work or wherever you may be. And he says, don't hang out with people like that. You know, cut them off. Don't even talk to them. Don't waste your time with them. Because they want to just argue. They're mockers, and they constantly are quarreling, and they're constantly striving with people. And then Solomon says in verse 11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace in his lips, the king will be his friend. Notice, a person who speaks kind words. That's for me. I'm pretty harsh sometimes. You know, it's crazy. I mean, you know, how God speaks to your heart. And it's really important that as you parents, not to degrade your children or to, you know, to say things that are hurting to them, but to be kind to them, building up instead of tearing down. That's why I said when you're young, you really don't know. When you get older, you learn. I mean, like my grandkids, I don't treat them like I treated my sons. I mean, my grandkids can do anything, and they're so beautiful. They never sin. They never sin. I can't believe it. But see, that's when you're a grandpa, that's what happens. Their parents get all messed up. You know, what are you doing? It's all right, you know. They can't eat candy. Come to my house. Off you. It's so cool. I mean, it's so different, you know. But that's what the way it is. So here again, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he who overthrows the words of the faithless. Here's the sovereignty of God again. The Lord ensures that the truth is not deception succeeded. So he wants us always to speak truth and never, never lying. Or again, deception. We need to be careful with that when we talk to people. And then this is a good one for a lot of people. The lazy man says, oh, there's a lion outside. I can't work. You notice, I shall be slain in the streets. If I go out, forget it. I'll get killed. Laziness. Notice that making always excuses why you can't work. Isn't that something? I mean, there are so many people. I'm blown away that some wives have to go to work and some of the guys play like they're sick. It's sad. Sad, sad, sad. Wives, you need to boot them out. They don't get a job. You know, unless they're deadly ill. But I think it's really important that even, you know, in training your children, cutting the grass, you know, cleaning windows, whatever it is, you're teaching them responsibility in the home. Man, my dad, man, we could not sleep in. Kids today, they sleep 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Not us. We got up at 6 in the morning. I don't care how late I came in. My dad would get us up at 6 in the morning. And we had to cut the grass. And we went out on the weekends and we washed cars, cut lawns to make money. Our parents didn't have any money. You know, we learn responsibility. Dale and I, man, we were out washing cars, cutting lawns, and then we got a job in a grocery store when we were in high school and play sports because our parents couldn't afford, you know, to give us money. And we learned a lot through that to become good stewards as we got older and never to be lazy. And I think something that is important today, there's a lot of young kids that have never learned how to work. They have no work ethics. Not at all. Why? Because their parents have never taught them. They let them sleep late, come in whenever they want to. There has to be discipline in the home. Discipline in the home. Because if not, you're going to lose your children. And they'll never, ever will be responsible to their wives if they get married, or a girl to their husband. And it's really important that we parents have the responsibility to teach them the way God says in his word. Otherwise, man, we're in trouble before God. verse 14. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit, speaking of the whorish woman. He who is abhorred by the Lord, notice, will father, the divine judgment comes upon the adulterers. You know, this woman is an adulteress. And think how many people within the church and outside of the church commit adultery. It's incredible how many guys I talk to that commit adultery on their wives and wives on their husbands. That's one thing, when you commit adultery, you know what? There's a guilt that you're going to have for the rest of your life. There's that beautiful virginity in the marriage of faithfulness and truthfulness. But once that is broken, you know, it's going to hurt the marriage. Even though you forgive and you forget, at the same time, think how it's in your brain for the rest of your life and in your heart. So many women have come in and just start weeping and crying because of their husbands going out on them. And husbands coming in because their wives have gone out on them. So we need to be careful of that. He goes on again, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Notice the importance of discipline here. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. I mean, don't take a shovel or, you know, come here. Man, you know what? I made a paddle with holes when my kids. And Rod Jr. one time, he put all these towels. He said, okay, Dad, don't hit me. Yeah, I saw these towels, you know. And I remember when I was in high school and the coach was going to paddle me. And when I went down to grab my toes, you know, I went like this and he saw what I did. And he didn't hit my butt. He hit the back of my legs and picked me up. Man, that killed. But what he's talking about here is to make sure you don't physically abuse your children. Hit them in the head, you know, pinching them, okay? You could grab a twig, and man, you can use it. It stings. They're like jumping like, you know. But they need to be disciplined. Sometimes punishment, you know, you got to go to bed early, whatever. You need to communicate with them, because if you don't, the child will get spoiled, the child will be ruined if you don't take the time to discipline them. Verse 16, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, again, look at the rich, oppressing the poor. They rip off the poor. How about all these TV evangelists that write letters crying to the poor widows or old people on television? Think about that. And they fleece the flock of God, and they fleece old people that are on Social Security. Emotionally. Well, here it is what he says. He who oppresses the poor to increase himself and make himself rich. He who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Notice how sad that is. Injustice. He's exhorting about bribery. The punishment for extortion and bribery is poverty. God eventually will work those people, man. And eventually, if they're not careful, God will take everything away from them. Verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. So here, from now on, in chapter here, this chapter, verse 17, 21, now we're going to go into something that is different. Now Hezekiah found some proverbs that belong to Solomon. And he gives them here, and from now, he's going to speak on the same proverbs, but it's going to be different. Watch what he says. He goes again, chapter 17 to 21. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge in this exhortation. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. And then he says, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. I have not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who are sending to you. So he goes from verse 17 all the way to verse 21. The proverb, speaking here, you know, on this paragraph concerning what we need to be doing in trusting. Verse 22, watch. God taking now the cause of the poor. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. Notice what he's saying here. Verse 23, For the Lord will plead their poor's cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. God will judge those that take advantage of the poor. God's not going to mess around. He will take care of them. Verse 24. Make no friends with an angry man, and with a furious man do not even go. Why? Because they're violent. They say things to hurt. You need to stay away from them. Verse 25. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Think of fathers or mothers that have this problem and the children are watching. They're learning and they're going to do the same thing. And notice the warning here. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in the pledge and one of those who is surety for his debts. What he's talking about? Don't sign for other people. You'll get stuck with the bill. Be careful who you sign. I don't sign for anybody. You know, if they can't afford it, then they have to wait on it. But here he gives you kind of a wisdom. He's talking to you about co-signing for people. Be careful. Verse 27. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? Notice that. The problem when people sign, they come and they repossess your car and they start taking all your stuff away from you while the other person gets away with it. And you're the one that signed. Now you're responsible. Verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have said. Remember I told you they have property and they have their lines. They put rocks up and your neighbor would sneak in at night and he moved the boundaries for himself. Cheating. Notice that. He says, verse 29. Do you see a man who excels or is diligent in his work? He will stand before kings, and he will not stand before unknown men. These are the benefits of a good worker. God is going to promote you, and you're going to receive great rewards when you work. Okay, look what he says, verse 23. When you sit down to eat with the ruler, consider carefully what is before you. Notice that. It says, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Notice what he's saying here again. He's talking about if you have a problem, make sure you take care of that problem. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceitful food here. And then he says, verse 4, do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Think about that. People that put their trust in money, and then at the end of their lives, they have nothing. Don't put your trust in gold or silver. You may have it today, but tomorrow you might not have it. They fly away. Then verse 6, he starts another one. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. When he says here, he thinks in his heart, he's thinking evil literally. Eat and drink, he says to you, but in his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten will be, notice, will you vomit up and waste your pleasant words. And then he says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Wisdom, don't cut on to fools. Fools don't listen to wisdom. Verse 10, respect property. Do not remove the ancient landmarks again, nor enter the fields of your fatherless. And then, for the Redeemer God is mighty, and he will plead their cause against you. I love that. That God sees the poor widows, God sees the people that are poor, and God is going to defend them. People don't get away from ripping off the poor, or oppressing them, or depressing them. Verse 12, notice now a renewing our call. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Notice that, a father giving advice to his son. Verse 13, the necessity of discipline. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. That doesn't mean beat him to death, okay? It means again, discipline, disciplining your kids. Notice that. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from where? From hell. If you let him get away with whatever he's doing, he's going to end up in hell. But if you discipline him and he learns, you know, then he's going to be what? He's going to be with the Lord. He's going to come back to the Lord. He's going to see in his own life. Verse 15. Now he talks about speech. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice indeed, I myself. Yes, in my innermost, that is deep down in the stomach, will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Notice this. Speaking of his son's wisdom to speak right things. And then the fear of the Lord, verse 17 and 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day long. That is, hate evil. Verse 18. For surely there is a hereafter or an end, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way or the right way. And then notice poor associations, verse 20. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with glutton eaters of meat. Why? For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Think of how many people alcohol has been their god and has stripped them from everything, and they lost everything. I watch these guys that go to the liquor stores and they buy these big old things of beer. And they go around the corner and they sit there and they drink it. And man, they're on the street. They lost their children. They lost their families. They lost their jobs. They have nothing. That's what he's talking about. Verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father, he says, who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Here he talks about respecting your parents, not forgetting about them. Remember I told you in those homes that I go to visit, in those rest homes, and you see all these parents, all grandparents, and their grandchildren and their children have neglected them and forgotten about them. That's how sad it is. And here Solomon says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Don't forget about them. They took care of you. They watched over you. They fed you. They bought your clothes. And you have to really think about it, because we're so busy, we're so selfish, that we can say, well, I have no time for my parents. But you know what? God will bless you if you take care of the elderly. He will bless you, man. I'm telling you. With everything there is in life, he will bless you. And this is what Solomon is trying to bring about here. And then again, notice he says, verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That is wisdom estimation here. He's talking about, you know, having the truth. And then the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. When his son is walking in truth, there's nothing else that we can do but rejoice. I look at my boys today, man, and I just rejoice in the Lord, how they're walking with God. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. When a son or a daughter are walking with the Lord, man, parents are so happy and joyous. Verse 26, following advice for children. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. For harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. Notice he's warning him about whorish women. She also lies in wait as for a victim and increases in the unfaithful among men. You, young man, you got to really be careful with whorish women. They'll bring you down for a piece of bread. They'll destroy your lives. And then check this out, the rest of the chapter, guess what he's going to do? He's going to speak about alcohol. The whole chapter, check this out. Verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, and those who go in search of mixed wine. Notice his answer. The alcoholic. The one that has a problem with drinking. Do not look on the wine when it is red or fermented. People are always arguing, well, in the Bible they drink. Oh, really? There's two kinds of wine. The grape juice and the fermented one. You need to check on that. The fermented wine will make you look stupid. I mean, look at people. I mean, they're real concerned that when you go to a party, they're kind of real. They start drinking. They start getting a little more happy, you know. Pretty soon, they're talking about different stupid things, you know. It's dumb. So that's what happens when you drink, okay? Verse 31. Do not look on the wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, you know, the wine mirrors, they go, look at beautiful wine. When it swirls around smoothly, see, and look at that. And at last, it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Notice what he's saying here. You're out of control. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea. And notice, or like the one that lies on top of the mast saying, they have struck me and I was not hurt and they have beaten me and I didn't even feel it. Notice what he says. When you're drunk, you don't feel nothing. Next morning you get up, you go, oh man, what happened to me? Notice that. And then he says, when I awake, then I go right back to what? Drinking more wine. So what is he saying? People have problems with drinking. Why drink when you can be full of the Holy Spirit? Seriously. And you know, if you have a problem with that, go to the Lord with that. Because I'll tell you what, it's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin your children's life. And the Bible says we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God declares. Father, we come before you tonight to thank you so much for these proverbs, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would continue to move in us and to work through our lives mightily and powerfully, Lord God. Lord, tonight the things that we have shared, Lord God, that they may penetrate deep in our hearts, Lord God. And Father, that you would bring a change in our lives so that we can be doers of God's word. Father, I pray for the business people. Father, I pray for the whole congregation in paying their taxes and giving to God, Lord God. And Father, about drinking too, Lord God, we pray, or drugs. Father, whatever it is that is holding a person back, that will damn their souls, Father. Lord, you said in the scriptures that no whoremonger, no alcoholic person, and no person that is drug addict or fornicator, adulterer, will inherit the kingdom of God. So Lord, I pray for anyone here that has any type of problem like that, Father, that you would speak to them and that you would help them to be delivered. And that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit to have a sound mind and a sound heart, Lord God. And Lord, we pray now if there's anybody here, Lord God, that doesn't know you, that you would speak to their hearts and Lord, that you would just really do a tremendous work in their hearts and minds, Lord God. And just as every eye is closed right now, nobody looking around, asking the Lord for anybody here that wants to receive Christ. It's not a religion, but it's a personal love relationship with Christ. We all have sin. Sin separates me from God. But as I come by faith to Jesus Christ and I repent of my sins, then he cleanses me and washes me through his blood. And then he fills me with his Holy Spirit and power. If there's anybody here that wants to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior, you want to go to heaven? You want your name written in the book of life? I want to ask you to stand to your feet right now and come up here to the front where I am. We're going to worship. You get up and you come, young, old. I don't care who you are. God will forgive you every sin you have committed because he loves you and he cares for you. So come now as we worship. Father, we're so thankful for your love and grace and mercy that you give us. Anybody else just come? Awesome. He wants to give you eternal life. Imagine that. He wants to forgive you for every one of your sins as you come and give your heart to him. I don't care what you've done. Jesus Christ will touch you in the deepest part of your hearts. Anybody else before I pray? Okay, we're going to pray for these that have come. And those watching through the internet, if you want to accept the Lord, pray with us this prayer. You guys pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. And ask Christ into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, And I receive you by faith as my Lord, as my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your power and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give us a Bible. So see that guy right over there? You guys go right over there. Awesome, awesome. That's neat.